Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Tonight, we got them. Goldie and the Salt.
Disgusting,
and it starts right now.
We gotta sound the alarm. We gotta sound the alarm.
Woo-hoo.
We have to sound the alarm.
Woo-hoo.
You got the right energy there, Goldie. That's exactly what Stu was going for. Let's break through a brick wall with the flat sound the alarm. I love that song. I continue to love that song.
That's
and
great.
I'm convinced that it would be perfect for ESPN's college football coverage. And I think we figured out what song they were using, and it was like oddly similar, but it was like by some megastar.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
I can't remember who it is, but yes.
Yeah. Well, welcome back, everyone, to another episode of A Typical Disgusting Display, a podcast for writers by writers who hate writing. I'm still coming down off the high of last week's episode.
Let's not limit it to writing also.
We hate a lot.
It makes it sound like we don't hate other things.
We're equal opportunity haters. We hate many things.
First joke of the day.
I'm coming down off the high of last week's episode with Steve Levitan, who was so nice, so funny, so gracious, and really so informative. He had many great points for writers, including writers like you and me, Goldie, who have been doing this for over 20 years, and he said stuff to us that we had never thought of.
I mean, the whole thing made me feel bad, and then when JC emailed the clip around for our social media, and I just saw what my skin pallor looked like in comparison with his, and he's, a decade older or something, and then it's like, How is a doctor not just done something for me at this point?
I know.
We look like
Pompeii, like the people frozen in ash. You know.
And go to a network president. You go, do you want to work with that guy or these guys? It's very clear why he is where he is.
The 6'4" guy who shines like the sun, or these two half full ashtrays of people. But so now this podcast has gone from 9 Emmys to 0 Emmys
back.
In the course of 1 week. And so we're back to a ground zero here. But one of the funny things we talked about were the ad campaigns that Fox used to use for his shows, Back to You. And Goldie, you mentioned your show, Making History, where both shows used the word shift. The ads used the word shift in place of shit, which you hated.
Right.
And you told them not to do, and then they went ahead and did it. So you found out some other fun stuff this week about ads.
Well, one person sent me something and one I just discovered on my own. But my goal here is to shame these marketing people out of their jobs. It is to get them fired, because people put years of their life, they put their genuine stories into these shows. The labor of hundreds of people. And it culminates in this show, and then this is how the show gets presented to the world. And the first one is absolutely fucking appalling. Because wait, Goldie, it's for the show.
Before you get into that, remind the people of exactly about the campaign for Making History, just to give it a little context.
Time just took a shift.
And that was after you had gone to them seeing another ad for Brooklyn Nine-Nine that was what?
Shift happens.
Right. So you told them specifically, I don't want this. And then they gave you precisely that. So now, what are the new ones?
Splatter your showaria. No. So this one is appalling. I saw it on that sidebar of Twitter where they have trending topics and then the network's bias space to make it look like they're trending, but it's clearly, it's promoted, it's sponsored.
Yeah.
But because everyone is our age or older, they think like people learn what they're going to do by looking at the Twitter trending topic hashtags and then they base their lives on that. So already...
Yeah,
it's a misconception. It's a botched punt. But so this show, Abbott Elementary, is a breakout comedy hit. It is the only real comedy hit. And its creator, Quinta Brunson, is sort of the feel-good story of all of television for the last year. So this, you have stumbled into as a network a gem. You were digging a trench for a latrine and you found a fucking emerald.
Okay. This is ABC now.
This is ABC. Yeah, you should put your best people on this. You should put this show in the best possible light. You should be touting the Emmys, the creativity, the popularity. But instead, they go with the tagline hashtag Abbott Elementary. Laugh your class off tonight.
Oh, no. No.
Fuck you.
Fill your comedy class hole.
Appalling.
Yeah, it's awful. I mean,
you've failed. You have disrupted the elemental forces of the universe.
Network. I love
you that. You are tampering with the order of things.
You're quoting
you
network.
You have failed and you will stop.
I love that you're quoting network to shame a network. That's amazing. Amazing. But that doesn't end there.
It doesn't end there, but I want to linger on this.
Yeah, let's linger. Just, do you have to let it linger?
Okay. So... maybe I'll make this point after the next one, because I do have a point. But laugh your class off. Like, school's in session or something. Elementary sells itself. People know what it is, and people like it, and people have a very positive perception of it. And you're like, Abbott Elementary, you know, it's a huge shit. What are you doing?
Take a shift on your desk. But it's they should just say, like, you know, winner of multiple Emmys or, you know, created by so-and-so. I'm saying don't go with a joke if you're going to go with that joke.
You don't need it. First of all, what joke is going to make anyone laugh on the side of Twitter? And it's certainly not going to be... laugh your class off, which doesn't make sense. So you're saying, like, I have a veneer of class.
Right.
I'm a wealthy person. I have taste. And so are you – you're in a way calling the show a piece of shit because you're saying if you have class, you will laugh your class away?
Yeah.
Like, did they even think this through, what this is saying?
No, they just went class ass and that's it. Somebody
like, imagine they're in my office right now. I go, what the fuck have you done here? So you're saying anyone who is classy will not like this show? Is that what you're trying to fucking say on the side of Twitter? Go back to your fucking cube and come up with something else. And who approved this? Get them in here. Send them in next. And tell them to bring a fucking box.
You could tell them, go shave your cubes.
Oh, God.
I mean,
I think I might fit in the advertising section of some of these networks.
Oh, I think we would, but I want to shame them.
Yes, please.
Oh, that's so funny.
Then the second one was sent to me by a guy named Joshua on Instagram. If he DMs me and wants credit, sometimes I wonder, like, do people really want names.
He might be gunning for a job over there. It might hurt him.
He might, but it's also, he's wearing a suit and a tie. He looks very respectable, and it's like, maybe it's, you know, people at someone's job, whatever, they have a good job, and it's like, well, I was listening, and you said this. So, Joshua, you know who you are. Thank you for sending this. So, the second one, again, it's a sponsored thing from HBO. So, HBO is generally very good.
Yeah.
Very good at marketing.
Mm-hmm.
They rarely miss.
Yep.
What, you know, one of the things I pay for gladly, and if HBO says, here's a good show to check out, in general, I do check out the show.
Yeah.
Yes.
From the creator of Veep, hashtag Avenue 5. It's a kind of spaceship comedy.
Oh, yeah.
You can see where this is going already. Avenue 5 returns for season 2, October 10th on HBO Max. Yes. I've just given them a free promotion. The tagline is, the ship has hit the fan.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I thought I sent this to you guys, too. I was like, oh, boy.
I think you did.
God.
Okay. The ship is shit?
Yeah.
Or
enough, like, what, of hitting the fan.
I know.
And so what, like, when shit hits the fan, do I go, oh, I want to be there when that happens?
Right.
I want to watch it, because I always think of the airplane and the literal shit flying in.
Yeah, which is
fan.
A great joke. Yes. Which is a great joke.
Hilarious. One of the great jokes of all time. Maybe.
Yes. Yeah.
So the ship has hit the fan. Armando Iannucci, great writer. Veep, however many Emmys.
Yeah.
So many.
It's about space. The ship. Let's take a ship. Taking a ship. Like, I'm picturing the meeting. They're like, taking a ship. An emergency ship.
Yeah. Yes.
Having a ship at your in-laws.
You're full of ship. You know, just something in that area.
Do you think it's a team of people, or do you think it's just one young person who's
it's
like,
a team.
No. Okay.
No, it's a team of adults who all drive Audis and BMWs and wear nice Banana Republic clothes and get paid well and have health insurance.
And you want all that taken away.
Kinda. Because it's the culmination of someone's work to call the ship hitting the fan. It's insulting.
Yes.
I know.
And it's bad. And so, but anyway, my larger point of this is, because these things, so much in TV is driven by marketing, as we know, that, you know, we've both been on shows where they say, I don't know how to market this, and we're, you know, we just can't market this. And so we don't know if we can keep doing it because we can't market it. Do we just reverse engineer the show around the inability of these marketers and say, it's like people who work in a poultry plant, and it's, you know, they're totally clocked. Like, we just come in and hand them on a platter.
Yeah, exactly what they want.
The shitty marketing, so that they don't have to do any work, and we're their favorite people in the world, because it's like,
cluck you.
Yeah. The cluck of the draw.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that.
Reverse engineer it just so they can have the bad pun.
Yeah,
in
just
one sheet.
Maybe just come up with a picture of your show. The people are on a ship. They're working in shifts. One of the guys' name is Shep.
I mean, you know what? I mean, I don't even say in fairness because it's not, but the fact that Schitt's Creek was so popular and like swept up so much may have done irreparable damage to this whole community. Because they're like, that
title
worked.
Alone, and I know everyone loves that show, and I'm sure it's great. The title alone has kept me away.
Me too.
Because it's so not clever to me.
Yep.
Like, if that's what you're in for, and I know the rest of the show isn't that.
Yeah,
I love Eugene Levy, love Catherine O'Hara.
Love everyone involved.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know it's great.
Yeah.
Yep.
But I'm deterred by that. I'm put off. And which is crazy because no one shits more than I do.
Well,
but maybe
hello,
that's why.
Hello. That's I don't think that's true. I think there's someone on this podcast who shits more than you. In fact, I was just doing that in the bathroom here at work.
After my COVID test.
And you were whistling.
I was whistling.
The only thing I've learned is when you think you're done, You're not done.
You're not done.
Oh, that's a good tagline. Yeah,
and not to get too graphic, but I can always tell by the first wipe if I'm done or not.
Thanks.
Yeah, I'd said not to get too graphic, so that's whatever I say after that, it doesn't matter.
Maybe it's in a blood clinic. And,
oh, no.
Oh, God. And,
I'm trying to get to a pun about... About wipe, they're wipe or wipe A individuals. I don't know.
So wipe
I guess a wipe A, wipe A personality.
Like in that point, you don't know you're talking about on this ship, they're wipe A personality. Like,
yeah, I love it.
I forgot that you weren't on a ship and you weren't taking a shift, so you can't leap to wipe. Nothing.
Well, I think what we're saying to these people is get your shift together, because we're out there watching. Boy, I love that. I love that opening topic. Quickly, another thing I wanted to mention is something we're very excited about is we've had the idea to have a group dinner for everyone who's been a guest on this show. So we're organizing it. It's going to happen in October. And I was really surprised and happy with the number of yeses we got. I think it's almost everyone we've had as a guest is going to be there. Yeah. So I am looking forward to this dinner immensely. Goldie, I'm sure you are as well.
Well, first of all, you need to issue a correction.
What?
You've had the idea to have this.
Oh, here we go.
And not we.
Yeah. Which is nice.
Each yes. And we.
Each yes was like a punch to the stomach. Because here's what's going to happen at that dinner.
Yeah.
Subconsciously,
yeah,
the table is going to organize itself according to levels of success.
Yes. And no question, Steve Levitan and whoever will be sitting is at the head next of to whatever me, table we have. Yeah.
Whoever is next to me is going to be so fucking bummed.
No.
And I'm going to read it on their face
position.
That they don't want to be near me. And here's the thing is I don't drink.
Okay? Yeah.
So
either.
Already when I got to dinner, I can't do the thing everyone wants to do.
Right.
I have not taken longer than 3 minutes to eat a meal in 2.5 years. Every time I eat, I am under extreme duress.
Now this one you won't be.
Screaming in the other room. So I do not know how to eat a dinner in longer than 5 minutes. So I'm going
to
get, you know, like a 10-ounce steak and a Caesar salad, and I'll be done. We're going to start at 7:30. I'll be done by 7:34. As everyone's getting wasted and eating for 2.5 hours, and I'll just be thinking the entire time, should I check my phone or not?
You can check your phone. And you've underestimated your popularity.
Yeah.
I think most of our guests will be fighting each other to sit next to you.
Elbowing.
I mean, who do people want to sit next to more, Abbott or Costello? Come on. They're going to be fighting to sit next to you. Yeah. Yeah. No.
I may be at my own table.
I just
but you know what it's going to be is we won't all fit at one table and then we'll be like we need someone to sit by themselves and I'll do it and everyone will go like good.
No, oh one God. Person by themselves. No, we'll put you and David Goodman will be at that table and you can both eat your meals.
Moving on.
Very fast. You can be done with your meals in 6 minutes. No, I'm actually calling it now. I want to sit amongst the G's. I want to sit with Goldie. I want to sit with Goodman and Gamble. I want to be in that area. That's a good
nice.
Crew. And by the way, Tom Gamble's email made me laugh very hard. His response.
All of them were funny.
Come back from New York with tales of a Grand Central Station.
I think all of the responses were funny.
Yes, they've been very funny. And Steve Callahan was nice enough to say, I feel like this is a scheme to get us all to bring in Johnny jokes. And when I read it, I was like, you know, if everybody brought one, that's not
idea.
Too much to ask.
When he said that, it did raise my awareness a little bit. That the whole thing feels like a trap.
Well, I think for some people it might be a job fair, and for other people it will be a fun night out.
Well, it's also I have a Willie Nelson concert the night before. I've been nowhere in almost 3 years.
Yeah,
the concert the night before. Yeah. I have that dinner, and then I have a wedding that weekend. So I'm getting boosted like tomorrow or something. But this is my. Entering Chernobyl as the other shift is coming out of COVID. Like,
hey, shift
I haven't had COVID yet. And I don't know how I'm going to avoid COVID in these 3 days.
Well, Biden said yesterday, COVID's over. You don't have to worry.
He said, yeah.
Folks, hey, folks, come on. Folks, hey, come on. Dana Carvey's Biden, by the way, is fucking fantastic. If you get a chance to listen to that, Google it. All right, anyway, so we're excited for that dinner. And then, now the last thing we want to talk about before we get to the goddamn Johnny jokes is we mentioned on the show a couple weeks ago, we tried to do a whole episode where we made football picks and predictions, and it was kind of a disaster. Like, we realized it was funny.
I mean, shift happened.
Shift happened. Yeah, we took a shift on air that show. Yeah. And the only one thing that I want to pluck out of that show that will never be aired is plucking shift. So I'm plucking shift. We were talking about ourselves as like sports personalities on the show, and I called you Tony Kornheiser, to which you instantly called me Blob Costas, which will never air, but I thought it was worthy of bringing up as a joke. I was laughing about that for a while. So we've decided a more modified approach to this sports thing because we love football, and we're coming into season three, week three now of the season. And so Goldie and I wanted to make, we're going to do this thing going forward where we make just one pick from each week. And Goldie suggested this. I thought it was a fun idea. And he said, we'll put $100 on it, which just seemed like, well, all right. And then we had the idea of, no. The loser will have to do 8 Johnny jokes while the winner gets to sit there and just enjoy life for a week, which is, by the way, that is worth thousands to us.
So we pick one game a week, and at the end of the season, whoever's picked the most games correctly will
get a week off. Gets a week off.
And part of this is also because I secretly think sports gambling isn't legal here. We have no way to bet the games. And if we did, but part of me believes if we did, I wouldn't have to work.
Right.
Now I'll have proof either way of this.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Okay, so now we haven't talked about what if we have the same pick, because I think this week we won't, but like it's
possible. Doesn't matter. We can pick the same game.
Oh, good. I'll just pick the same game.
Because we're not going to do that every week
with you. I'll pick it every week with you. All right, so I'm ready to make my pick. Goldie, can I go ahead?
Yes.
As much as it pains me, I am taking the Ravens -3 over the Patriots. So that means that the Ravens have to win by 3 or more. I mean, I guess we didn't talk about pushes, but maybe we count that as,
I mean,
like
it's a tie like it would be one-one.
I'm picking the Ravens, the explosive Ravens, over the Patriots. It pains me to pick against my hometown team and the coach with one of the greatest winning percentages in football. I may regret that, but I'm picking the Ravens.
Okay.
I looked at that game. I thought it was a good pick, but I am going with the Cowboys are getting 2.5 points, meaning they have to lose by 2 points or less, or they can win against the New York Giants, who are terrible.
They're overrated.
The Cowboys aren't great, and it's in New York, whatever. And by the way, every fan at Giants Stadium in New York looks like a different age AJ Soprano.
Oh my God. Wow, that's funny.
Yep. That's a great comparison. I had a theory like that where every Yankee fan sounds like the lead singer of Cypress Hill.
We love the Yankees. You know?
that's very good as well. But so anyway, my pick is that the Cowboys, who are getting 2.5 points, Micah Parsons, the defense, Daniel Jones is terrible. The Giants have kind of lucked into 2 wins. I think it's all a fraud.
Yeah.
I don't think Cooper Rush is actually that much worse than Dak Prescott at the end of the day.
Controversial.
But I love the Cowboys in this game. Bet the house.
Bet the house. All right.
House.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
All right, so that was fun. And now let's get into something way less fun. Our terrible Johnny jokes.
From Glendale, California,
what an intro. This crowd is hyped up from that, intro.
Awesome. Awesome.
Which we will never live up to, or at least I won't. Here we go.
That's the idea.
Yeah. Just submarine the first guy. Okay.
Oh, yeah. You're in a world of shift.
I'm totally plucked. Here we go. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis sent over 50 South American migrants from Florida to Martha's Vineyard last week. Yeah. The Republican was hoping to teach the lesson that those who immigrate into this country illegally will be met with coastal beach weekends. And the word
that
was actually...
That was a tough area. I give you credit.
You know what? And I read it wrong.
I couldn't
come
up with anything in there.
I read it wrong in my punchline. Will be met with casual beach weekends, which is funnier than coastal because every beach is a coast. So fuck that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pluck that.
Pluck that shift. Okay. Maybe you saw this quick one. A spider crawled across Queen Elizabeth's coffin during her funeral last week. Finally, she's on the web.
Oh, wow. That's really good.
That's great. That is a good joke.
Wow. I can't believe anyone liked that. All right, here we go. Here's one to bring it back to Earth. President Biden has declared the pandemic officially over. But many medical experts are questioning the remark, as right after that, he went on to declare Brendan Fraser officially thin.
Oh, no.
Yeah, there we go. Back to Earth.
Yeah.
Finally, moving on quickly, it took all the Queen Elizabeth shine away. That's how quickly life changes in comedy. Shift happens.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, here we go.
Michael Richards, the most popular man in America. Widely loathed.
Oh, that's a great comparison. Here we go. Finally, Broadway's longest-running show, The Phantom of the Opera, is closing next month.
Oh, no.
He gone!
Boy, I guess they really did lift that mask mandate.
Oh.
Next... Johnny,
oh,
embrace the silence.
I've come to
love the silences.
I'm gonna start out with a Norm.
Lead
off with a Norm.
There you go.
Norm MacDonald. Okay. Earlier this week, Queen Elizabeth was laid to rest, making Prince Charles King Charles. And like all kings, he spent his first day moving into his dead mom's bedroom.
Oh, wow.
Very Norm. Very Norm.
I just thought that is kind of a weird element of this, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. So what mummies
now
said.
Go sleep where your dead mom used to.
I'm going to masturbate with my bloated hand in my mom's bed.
Oh, my God. Gross.
Yuck. All right. Number two. Due to supply chain problems, there's a shortage of beer. Yeah. Things have gotten so bad, Nancy Pelosi's husband is now driving sober. I've done a version of that joke before with Tiffany Haddish. It's sort of cheating, I know.
Okay. Beer eye for the straight guy.
Yeah. New York City is installing cameras in every subway car to deter crime. And breaking news.
New York City is seeking any leads in the theft of all the subway cables.
Oh, I love you touched your ear for the breaking news that you got into character.
No, just did.
And finally, yesterday, the FDA issued a warning not to cook chicken in NyQuil. Yeah. However, if you insist on preparing this medicated meal, they recommend the following side dishes. Alka schnitzel, penne a la Valtrex, and for dessert, flanicillin.
Yes. Oh, how dare you come at those one-sheet marketers with a joke like that. But that was very funny.
That was 2 hours of my day yesterday.
Good.
Various other quills.
Flanicillin.
There's a difference between a national ad campaign and one joke in a segment on a poorly listened to podcast.
I would agree with that.
The bar might be a little lower for us.
Yes. Oh, always. Always. We set the bar low.
Sure.
So this week for our theme, we've been talking about this for a few weeks now, that we have these segments where we say, is this anything? Could this be anything? And we've kind of hinted at the fact that we might take some of these ideas and try to flesh them out a little bit. So that's what we're going to do today. And so this means that you'll get to hear what it's like to actually be in a writer's room when these kinds of things are talked about. And I think you'll see that it's not always the sort of like joke a second laugh fest that you think it might be. It can be a slog. Sometimes some stories come easier, some you can't crack. So today we're gonna take a whack at a couple of these. Goldie, did you have these stories banked, or does somebody?
I did. I listened to our old segment this morning, and I'd like to just at the top differentiate, because in the past we've brought up two segments. One is called "Is This Anything," and another is called "Is This Something."
Yeah,
and they are totally different.
They are totally different.
"Is This Anything" is when we bring ideas to each other.
Yes.
And try to figure out if there's anything there in crafting them into a movie or TV show.
Yeah.
"Is This Something" is when our listeners email ideas to us.
Wait.
That they are wondering
but
if within
the
idea is contained a usable premise. So you send stuff to us to determine if it is something.
Okay.
Bring subjects to each other.
Yes.
And I see JC badly wants to interrupt.
No, it's only because that means I need to rename the title of that old episode, because the episode is called "Is This Something?"
Yes, I noticed that.
I can change it.
There's such a great Monty Python bit that is almost exactly this, where John Cleese is trying to explain the rules of the school, and it is so fucking hilariously complicated. But I know what you're saying. "Is This Anything" is you and me bringing ideas to each other. "Is This Something" are ideas that come from the outside.
I feel like I want to just change it. As we're talking.
Yeah.
You.
Yes. Change what you want.
Multitasking.
As one-third shareholder of the $27 we just made.
Literally.
Please keep emailing in your ideas for "Is This Something" to atypicaldisgustingdisplay@gmail.com. And we received a pretty good one that we're kind of sitting on. But we'd love to do a few more. Any idea you have, a premise in your head that you're wondering, is this something? And now we will enter into the exciting world of determining whether something is anything.
What?
I love it. So what's our first
So we did a few ideas which I will bring up in our original episode. But I thought also, in the spirit of writing and constantly questioning yourself and procrastinating at the last minute and always thinking that whatever you already have must be garbage compared to whatever you just thought of, I'm going to present you right now with four possibilities you haven't heard.
Oh, I love it.
To determine if you want to throw them into the main ring to fight the leaders.
Well, but what do you mean? Why don't you spit out the ideas and we'll just get right into it? We can start talking about them if there's anything.
Right, but we have two ideas banked, one of which was basically idiots find a frozen woolly mammoth, And a second of which is a cell phone with old clues on it to some sort of crime or the backlog of some affair that didn't work out is uncovered. And now here are four concepts I'm bringing you fresh from kind of the news and headlines and stories to determine if you want to use one of these to perhaps displace one of those. Okay. Are you ready?
I am, but okay. Somebody said rom-com, and I'm going to throw out prom-com. Ooh. Is that something? Prom-com.
Yeah.
Prom-com is
plenty
anything.
Of those.
Yes.
There's lots of those.
Oh, shit, it is. God damn it. All right, go ahead, Goldie.
Prom-com is great, by the way, and that almost too good to... I mean, if in terms of like the marketing driving the concept is... Yeah. It's the first prom-com.
It's there. Prom-com. Well, you got diversity, you got youth, you got music.
Yeah, there's you one to all the boys.
And then in the end, they kiss.
Literally, yes,
as we've learned. Okay, so here are just four new ideas, and you can tell me if they're anything or if they're nothing. So the first idea is Mark Zuckerberg had Facebook, and you know he is who he is. He's someone who has maybe the least dynamic personality ever sitting atop a great social network. And in the past year, he then determined that this was a dying business people didn't realize was dying yet, and they had to take a shift. And
go suck yourself.
So he's decided to put everything into the metaverse. And since he's decided to do that, the stock price has dropped something like 50%. He's essentially lost $70 billion of revenue. Yeah. So my idea is this anything is you take this story of a Mark Zuckerberg like corporate officer, and they've had success that turned to failure in the real world. And so to escape mounting debts, growing personnel crisis, the person then fully uploads themselves into the metaverse to escape.
Oh.
Is that anything?
There is a
show. It has
show.
Elements of Disclosure. It has elements of Osmosis Jones, if you remember that.
Yeah.
But so
elements
this person,
of Disclosure, the Demi Moore Michael Douglas movie from the 90s.
Yeah, remember when he puts on those VR glasses and goes into a virtual office that is just a worse looking office?
And then
he has to open a virtual file cabinet. Because it's like, why would the file just be there? You have to go into a file cabinet.
I remember Disclosure dealt with the very necessary topic to deal with of women harassing men in the workplace.
What if the most beautiful woman in your company won't stop harassing you?
Yes, that, and God damn it, it's about time. Hashtag,
that's the problem.
Hashtag he too. JC is saying this may already
exist. There's a show that's called Upload. And it's created by Greg Daniels from The Office. It was the show that he made after The Office. I've watched this show. It's about when people die, they are able to prepay for heaven. And the more money you have, the nicer your heaven can be. And you upload into these places before you die. But there is a character who wants to be with her husband so badly that she
unrealistic.
That's really fun. But yeah, so that show has been made.
That's where it lost me. Not the uploading to heaven. The wife wanting to be with her husband forever.
So quickly. Oh,
what a top moment. So, I think we've answered the question that it is anything, but whether it's worth pursuing, I don't know. But
no, I mean, I like that idea. I wonder... So, what differentiates your idea from Upload is that this is not a person who's dying. This is a person who's like 40 and says, I am running away from my problems by uploading myself into this cloud or metaverse that I've created.
Yes.
And then, I actually think that's a really good idea because then you can see this person uploading themselves into this thing that they've been touting forever and then see how badly it sucks. And then
there's a chance for real social commentary. Underneath it of a virtual experience versus a real experience.
And this person this Zuckerberg type character would probably have to have the ability to communicate with at least someone on Earth, like through a computer. Like you'd see text or something saying, sure, like, this is what I'm doing. Will you fix this? Can you do this? And you could see the world changing around him when he was.
It's also
there.
An opportunity to do a body switch comedy if you wanted to, that you're uploaded as a woman, you're uploaded as a different race, you're uploaded as an animal, you're uploaded into whatever.
Well, and also you could do like a serious, not totally serious, but like a heart part of it where maybe this person had a strained relationship with their partner, but like through living in the metaverse, they learn that they either miss them or they want them, or the dream girls that he's created in the metaverse are actually their own nightmare because their personalities are really nothing and they just kind of look nice. And
well, it's all the minutiae of daily life that you fight over, whether it's like dinner, making the bed, and you take the blanket, and you know, you never do the laundry or whatever. And it's like, you don't have to deal with any of that in the metaverse. But then he comes to understand that these small things in life are what really gives it value.
Oh, yeah, that's good. That's save great. That for the pitch.
Very good.
Yeah, oh. I mean, I just did. We're recording this, so I don't have to save anything.
Oh, pitch slapped. You've unlocked all the puns. Sorry.
Let me move on because to the second idea. So you brought this story up in your Johnny jokes, and it's made national news. Ron DeSantis sending these refugees to Martha's Vineyard. Is there a Cheech and Chong style comedy of two refugees who are like, you know, think they're crossing the border to, you know, get these jobs in a border town or whatever, and then they're suddenly find themselves transplanted into a luxury community, and they, you know, they're able to maneuver their way into society there, a slobs versus snobs, or you know, a stoner kind of like in paradise, or
right.
Well, I like that story because, and I think the way to tell it today, which is in the past, that kind of story, if you think about like maybe Perfect Strangers or something where Balky comes to the U.S. and, oh, it's so funny because he's so different, right? Whereas I think in this version, maybe you shed the Cheech and Chong thing, make it about like a family, and the family at the center of it that's like been sent to Martha's Vineyard, they're the normal ones. And it's like we white Americans are like the weirdos around them. And so whereas, you know, before you would play it at like this foreign family comes and aren't they different and they don't know this and they don't use that. Whereas now you could play it as like, these are people with like just normal lives and dreams and jobs and all that. And it's the people around them who are constantly like white crazy.
Well, there's also an opportunity to do a Norman Lear style. And by the way, I just want to say, I think you took a very intelligent approach there.
Oh, nice.
I think there's maybe an opportunity in your version. Like my version's just a stoner comedy of like, you know, goofballs coming and realizing they've lucked into a super nice place and taking advantage of that situation, whatever that is, and bringing zaniness to like a stayed resort community. Yeah. But your version, in which the family finds themselves in this eccentric environment, and maybe you play up the political element. This is not a type of writing that I particularly enjoy right now, post Trump. But set that aside.
Yeah,
that say they find themselves torn in between, you know, the liberals who want to help them in this community and the conservatives who don't want them there. But then you learn also that the dad of this family is actually very conservative.
Right.
And the mom is liberal. And it's sort of family, family ties and those to all in the family type thing that you learn surprising things about people as they are integrating into this fish out of water situation.
I love that. I love that because that, again, it gives the migrant family more realism, whereas I feel like in the past they would be painted in caricatures. And now you acknowledge that, yes, you know, like it doesn't matter if you're a migrant family or not, you have your own political views. And I think it's, you know, you're right, to write sort of political back and forth now in this post-Trump era is maddening and, you know, just a road to danger, but
it doesn't feel funny to me necessarily, but it feels like a good pitch.
You could, it's easy to play the Republicans as like evil and like they're lying to these migrants and sending them off somewhere they didn't know where they were going with false promises. But it's also could be fun to play the liberals as like, because this was something that totally had to happen where the people of Massachusetts had to be okay with it. You know, even if they weren't, right. Because it was just like, oh, right. You're going to accept all these people? Well, here you go. We're sending them to you. And then we had to be, Massachusetts people had to be like, well, fine, we'll take them. Of course, we want to take them. But then playing that sort of liberal pat yourself on the back thing of like, here's my Instagram photo of me helping these migrants and handing them some water. It's like, you know, it feels like you could really make fun of kind of both sides in that.
Right. Yeah, and it's also like the conservative, you know, well, I hope you're ready to learn the value of hard work. And it's like, what do you do? And, you know, I'm an investment advisor.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So I sit in here all day. Okay.
Sometimes I watch the prices of these things as they go up and down in a way that just seems like luck most of the time.
Right.
I actually short the market, which means that I bet against good things happening. So I hope you're learning from this.
Well, I will say that, and I'm going to get it wrong again, you and I are anything, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. That is anything.
Yes.
That sounds weird to say. Yeah.
That's it is. It's intentional.
Okay, good. That is anything.
It's odd to say that. So I
like
that.
Oh, I like you bringing these ideas. This is great.
Yeah. So, maybe we just do the ideas today and we punt again on blowing it up.
Oh, I'm happy to do that. Any work we can punt down the road, let's do it.
Let's do that. So, idea number three.
Kicked in the punt.
Oh, whoa. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Idea number three is this is a sports movie, a sports comedy, maybe. Yep. So Aaron Judge of the New York Yankees is probably going to break Babe Ruth's record, which is, you know, 15 years ago, it feels like this would have been a way bigger deal.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's my own waning baseball fandom or the country's in general, but
yeah.
But anyway, the catching of this home run ball is obviously going to be an event and the ball is going to have some kind of monetary value in the millions. Mm-hmm. And it just feels like, is there some sort of comedy, and it's a movie, I think, it's not a show. So, like, I think the first idea we did, the Zuckerberg in the Metaverse, that's a movie. The second idea, the refugees, that's a show.
Yes.
Unless you do the Cheech and Chong version, I think it's a movie.
Right.
This is a movie where, say, the baseball player was on a rookie contract, and they were only making the rookie minimum salary.
Right.
And that this ball is worth, you know, $5 million, and that in rounding the bases to celebrate the home run, they tear both their knees, and they need this ball to live, and the person won't give it back. And it's sort of
great.
Like, what about Bob?
Yes.
Or it's one of those movies where it's what's that movie? I think it's called The End, where it was this hilarious movie where Burt Reynolds – Burt Reynolds had hired Dom DeLuise to kill him and then decided he didn't want to die and couldn't call it off. Did you ever see this?
Oh, no, but I think it is called The End. I think I've seen...
It's written by Jerry Belson, I believe, who was a brilliant writer.
Yeah.
But it's one of these movies of two people who've sort of lost their minds in a rivalry that only they can understand.
Yes, well, I like this again. This is anything. I like the idea of, you know, it's obviously very funny. The guy kind of wrecking his career in his moment of triumph. It could even be like a, you know, fans used to run out of the stands in moments like that to like hug people.
Yeah, the
or
Hank
something.
Aaron.
Yeah. So it could be somebody accidentally body checks him and he tears his knee. Yeah, I like that because especially if you take New York, which is such an inherently colorful, character-filled place, and you get the story of the person who caught it and their family and how that's going to change their life. And it's almost like, do they have Aaron Judge come be a part of the family or something? But I like
I was thinking that, you know, that it's... by the end of Act One is the tearing of the knees and I need this ball. Then Act Two is pursuing this ball. And then finally, like some physical confrontation, I'm taking the ball. And it's like, that's not the ball. I lost it.
Oh, you know,
so sad.
And that it's then those two have to be a team to go get the ball from whoever stole it from them.
Oh, yes. The Cypress Hill guy who stole it.
And there's also something funny in, I mean, I don't know how you would work this in, but the way O.J. Simpson just got jail time for stealing his own stuff back.
Oh, I love that. Yes.
And not the killings.
Yes.
But it feels like at some point they end up in jail for taking their own stuff.
Right. this is, I mean, yes, I agree. It is a movie, but like it almost feels like there's more to it. I don't know how much more. I think it could only be like a limited series, but because they seem to love doing that now. But
Ted Lasso's paved the way for sports.
I know,
right?
That for sure is anything. But the one thing we would have to set out to do at the beginning is please, for the love of God, like, get Major League Baseball on board so you can say the Yankees. You know, like,
you don't
want it to be like the New York Stars, you know, like, no. Or like something. Right. I hate that when they have
it ruined
teams.
Any Given Sunday, which I love Any Given Sunday.
I know.
It's like the New York Knights.
Like, why?
I know. The inches we need are all around us.
Okay.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Now, this I'm going to go to the last one, and I actually think this is a very good, very funny idea for a movie.
Bring it.
Slightly political. So today in the news, Putin, because the Ukraine conflict is going so badly for him, they've issued a national draft order for 300,000 troops. But a lot of these people are in their 50s and 60s that they're bringing back. So it feels like these old guys who are forced to go back into the service.
Yes.
You know, or this old platoon that, you know, fought in some conflict in the 70s or 80s, and now everyone's 60 and they're dealing with the new recruits.
Oh, that's cool.
I love that.
And there is, you know, I'm trying to think of the last good military comedy, but you know, if you wanted to bring intellectual property to this and you wanted to make the executives feel smart, there's a book. Have you ever heard of The Good Soldier Schweik?
No.
So The Good Soldier Schweik is one of the most famous works in Czech literature. And it's basically Don Quixote, but in the military. Like, it's an idiot in the military. And
I
read it in college. I have not read it since. But I remember it being legitimately really funny and really enjoying it.
Yeah.
So you just, you know, reference The Good Soldier Schweik and make everyone feel good about there's a literary basis of this.
Yeah.
And it, you know, it could take place in an Eastern European country that it's just the fun of these old guys in a conflict. And then, you know, they find themselves roaming the Ukrainian countryside and enjoying the food and wine instead when they're supposed to be fighting.
Or I like that.
That they have some conflict that's unresolved from their time. They never thought they'd see each other again. It's like, I fucking hate you. No, I hate you. Or you could play it in America that, you know, that it's a whole platoon versus a whole platoon of like the way the military used to be versus, you know, like you have transgender troops and women troops and all this stuff. And it's which is the better. And then they have to work together.
That's kind of like Heartbreak Ridge, that Clint Eastwood movie that was actually pretty bad. But it's not a bad idea.
But I'm talking about a comedy.
Yeah. No. I think, first of all, I find Russian jokes to be almost an endless comedy barrel. Like, there, you can make a living telling jokes about Russian stuff, and it's still one of the safe places to make fun of.
Well, the idea of you open on someone with binoculars as you know, paratroopers are coming out and they're very concerned, they're like, they're coming, they're raiding, and then you show that everyone is elderly as as they are dropping the ground. Like, what the fuck?
The Russians are coming. Yeah, that's funny. Well, and also I think that this show, first of all, I think this is a show. Because I think there's a lot to do.
There's more money in that for us.
Yeah. I think this is anything. And I think that you have a lot to work through. You have the actual draft and people being nervous about it, the people being called into the draft, the basic training again years later, then the actual deployment, and then what happens when they are in the war. And I like you sort of hit on this, the idea.
They just trooped their pants.
Oh, that's great. We can't stop now. Now we love these guys at ABC and Fox.
Well, maybe you hire us.
Yeah, exactly. Here we just doled out so many for free here. But I do like the idea that these older Russian soldiers, they're deployed. They're sent to take over like Ukrainian Village X. They do so, but then it's like you play it as like almost like a Hogan's Heroes, where they're occupying this town, but they're not into war. They don't want to kill anyone. They actually kind of like this village. It's like nicer than Russia.
And they're kind of the same people, right? At one point, they were the same nation, and they personally don't have a conflict outside of the national conflict.
Yes. And so then I think it's a fun dynamic of like these people who are being told to occupy this town, but they, yes, go. What?
Well, it's like the general is coming. We need to make it look like we're fighting.
Yes, you know, like exactly.
The episode of the fake war and the guy squirting ketchup on his face, and then
right,
you know, that they're trying to convince this very important person that they've taken the village.
Right, right. They have to convince one villager, like, listen, we're going to shoot your house a lot. But you don't be in there, but we're going to shoot it up a lot to make it seem like we're fighting someone inside. And then
within that, I mean, depending on if you want to be a darker comedy or whatever, they're plotting how they can orchestrate the killing of the general in that fake conflict.
Yes. I love this.
And engineer this person to die heroically so that, you know, that they can have this big state funeral when they go back. It seems like a fun, it seems really fun. By the way, if anyone wants to do any of these, you know, get in touch with our reps.
Yeah, I know.
We'll do them. We'll do them. I think they're good ideas. Listen, I don't want to go out and pitch anymore. I mean, it's just a minefield out there.
I know, it's terrible.
But I actually do like talking about ideas.
I know. That was great. You brought excellent ideas to the table.
Then let's not even talk about the old ones right now.
No. That's great.
Let's just bask in having done a good job.
Yes. Oh, bask not what your comedy writers can do for you. Sorry. This, again, Witzel sucked. You unlocked the puns. Not me. All right. Well, that was incredibly fun
to
talk about. Yeah. Thank you for bringing those ideas to the table. It was...
It's fun to do that.
It was fun. We should do that more often. But now... Let's
ruin it. We should definitely ruin it.
Ruin what?
We should do it so much that we can't.
Yeah.
Like we should deal or no deal it. Like, let's put it on 5 nights a week.
Run it into the ground. Yeah. Oh, before we get into our top five, I just want to mention that next week on the podcast, we are incredibly excited to have the tallest guest we've ever had. And that's sorry, Craig Kilborn, sorry, Steve Levitan, sorry, Steve Callahan.
Yeah.
You're out. Because next week we have... famed writer from The Simpsons, and I mean, he worked with us on Dads. Ooh. I hate to shit on him in the second credit. He's been doing it for a long time. He's a really
SNL
funny guy.
Army SNL. Man, the legendary underground magazine.
That's right. Oh. So Ian Maxtone Graham will be here with us next week. We are very excited to talk with him. I heard tell that he might even tell a Johnny joke or two.
Yes.
And I'm sure he'll be in on this next portion of the show that we like to call Top Five.
Top Five.
Oh, yes. Soothing sound of us. Goldie, this was your topic, so why don't you tell us what we got?
Took a materialistic turn last week, and I said, let's do the top five possessions that we own. Top five things that we value.
Or have owned?
That are, sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Top five material goods.
Okay.
That we esteem.
Oh,
Okay.
This is so difficult.
JC, do you want to go first? Do you want me to go first? I think Goldie should go last because this is his topic.
Okay, you go first.
Okay, I'll go first. All right, you wanted to start materialistic, and I started materialistic. Number five, my house on Cape Cod. Oh, yeah. They laughed at me when I bought it. They said, you're never going to use that. And then a little thing called COVID happened. And I was the happiest guy not in Hollywood. So God bless you, house on the Cape. Number four, the otsy-fatsy side of me, my piano.
Oh,
I fucking
lovely.
Love my piano,
oh,
and
nice.
I'm sad that now I'm on the other side of the country from it, and all I want to do is go back there and continue practicing Peter Cetera's Glory of Love, which is what
Ooh,
I was practicing when I was
nice.
Leaving. So
you can borrow my... I have, like, an electric piano. I'm happy to bring it to work.
Oh, Turnabout nice. Is Fair Play. Not good enough.
Oh.
Number three, and I have a few of these, and this is a little bit sad and a little cool. My lightsaber.
Oh.
There's nothing more satisfying than turning on my fake lightsaber. It has nothing to do with my penis, I'm sure. Number two, and Goldie, I think you'll like this one. Number two for me is the signed Tom Brady jersey I received for you writing that joke for him.
Wait. Wait, because, that happened?
Yeah, oh, yeah. And
did
not only...
I didn't know you got something out of it.
Oh,
this
yeah.
is new
well,
information.
Not only did I get the Instagram follow because you wrote that joke, so I got the follow, but I also got an autographed jersey from him, which now I look at with pride over
God.
Something I did not do.
Oh. I may have to steal that from your house.
This is another, is this anything?
Yeah, that's right.
I steal your Tom Brady jersey.
So that's number two. And number one, I'm revealing a softer, sadder side here. Number one for me, Blinky. That means nothing to you. It was my lifelong childhood blanket that made it with me through decades and decades. And then
jerking
was
off.
No, Blinky never was part of that. Blinky was not part of that. Blinky was sleeping while I was doing that. And sadly, I feel like Blinky did not survive the move from L.A. to the Cape. It somehow got lost in the shuffle. But boy, Blinky put in a lot of good years.
Aww.
So I want to say thank you to Blinky.
Wow. You know what? I had a similar thing, and Stu was like, I don't think that's too personal. You shouldn't put that on there.
It was my number one.
I know. I'm like, should I find a place to put it back? I mean, I have one.
I just want to pretend this is a knife. Okay. I have Blinky.
No, no. Yes. Okay, I'll give you the Brady jersey. I swear. I'll send it today.
Blinky doesn't like to shave.
No, he doesn't.
Okay, so I will go. My number five is the Neck Tech Shiatsu Neck Massager. Have you seen these things?
Ooh.
You put your arm in like the sling and you pull it, and it's incredible. I will send you guys the links.
Okay.
$45.
Awesome.
Totally worth the investment. I have insanely tense shoulders. So, yes. Number four is my Peloton. It has changed my life.
Oh.
For the better. I mean, I was
You have to tell me who you are on Peloton, because we can be Peloton buddies.
I would love to. I will send you.
I'll high five you. I haven't been on in months.
Okay.
Sorry, keep going.
Yeah, no problem. My number three is my Supro bass that Stu bought for me. It's a short scale bass, which I prefer, with flat wound strings, and has three pickups. One of them is a piezo pickup.
Ooh.
So Stu has all the fancy ones. This is my favorite, like,
boutique. Do you ever play the bass breakdown from Fleetwood Mac's The Chain? Do,
no.
Do, 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 do.
Oh.
That's a good one.
I'll learn it.
Please.
My number two was our Brooklyn apartment. It was the first one we owned. Every time I'd walk in, I just remember being like, wow, we did this. You know, like, I live here. I just remember loving that feeling.
You cashed in your Apple stock. I remember.
Yes, it was a very
smartly.
Thank you. And then my number one, this is my sentimental one, and it's a little bit, when I grew up in Mill Valley, there is a place called Tennessee Valley Cove. And you walk down this It's like a walk. They call it a hike. But at the end is Tennessee Valley Cove. And it's one of those beaches that has those small pebbles as opposed to sand. So it's kind of like you look at it and you're like, this sucks. But as a kid, all the way through high school and adulthood, I would go down there and I would look for these little stones called carnelians, which are semi-precious stones.
Right.
And I would collect them and put them in this little tin. So I have this tin for no reason, just like my cheese journal. I have this tin of carnelian stones that I've collected since I was like 6 till my 20s.
Oh, that's sweet.
And I carry it with me everywhere. And it's like, what is this?
Is it a Sucrets tin?
No. It's an old like tin film canister, like antique film canister
cool.
thing.
Oh, that that's twist, cool. Yeah. Well, you're semi-precious to us.
Oh, only semi? Just kidding. Thank you.
Good list.
All right. So my number five is my father was issued a coffee mug when he was in the Marines in World War II, and it was preserved throughout heavy combat.
Oh.
And it is in my possession.
Oh, it's beautiful.
A genuine Marine coffee mug. Will I ever drink out of it? It probably is full of lead, so I will not.
Oh, God. I could be like, Goldblatt, put that coffee down. We got hurt men over here.
Casually. Number four is my surfboard.
Ah,
which, nice. It's, they don't make it anymore. It's called a Wegener Project Sea Glass.
Ooh.
Alaya. It's a finless surfboard, 5'6", very hard to find. Awesome. If anyone knows of one, I will buy it.
Wow.
Oh, all right.
Number three, I've talked about it before. The only reason anyone likes me, my pool.
Oh. Yep, that's a great thing.
Number two, I own a few guitars, but I had been pursuing this particular guitar and there was a 2-year wait list. I didn't want to sign up. And then one day, one of the websites I watch, it became available. It's made by a company called Pre-War. And what they do is they basically are able to make a 1931 Martin guitar, but whoa. New.
Wow. What?
So it's like, you know, the Pre-War Martins are prohibitively expensive, but this company, Pre-War Guitars, can make you one for cheaper. And I was able to skip the line, and it's just an amazing, amazing guitar.
Sounds good.
And number one, and some people will say that this is not an ownership situation. Some will be offended.
No, I know what you're going to say.
Lloyd.
Yes.
He is my possession. I own him. He's my most valuable possession.
Oh, yes, so sweet.
Very sweet. Good list. Oh, and a great topic. Great topic.
Yes.
It's on me to pick next week's top five. And this is one we had talked about a while ago, and it's just been sitting in my notes. So I think it could be fun. We're going to go with top five worst song lyrics of all time.
Okay. Oh, yeah. You got to know a lot of music, though.
So. Yeah. Top five worst song lyrics of all time. Lyrics that drive you insane or, for some reason, weird.
Will any hip-hop be involved? Next week's top five is a total crapshoot.
All right. So we got the top five, and now let's close the show like we always do on a high note. Thank you, Tom and Max.
Yes.
Very sweet. I'll get my high note out of the way quickly. And Goldie, I had mentioned this to you the other day, and maybe this will be a topic somewhere down the road. I am reading, and I'm now basically done, with a self-help book called This Is How You Heal by a woman named Brianna Wiest. And I cannot express, and maybe I will express.
A Wiest infection.
And it might be the Wiest of my problems. I cannot express how instantly and how much this book has unlocked something in me that I think needed to be unlocked. And we'll talk about that sometime in the future. But I just would encourage anyone who feels like they need to heal in some way to pick up this book. This is how you heal, Brianna Wiest. Thank you, Brianna.
Wow. This is how you heal.
I think of that every time I pick up the book.
This is how Alec heals. He has got a case of feel.
This is how we heal. It's Friday night. Lying in bed with my highlighter. High notes. High notes.
Oh, right, right. You want to go? Do you want to go next or do you want to go last? I don't know how you're
feeling.
Why do
you not have a high note?
No, I have one. It's just not like, maybe not a show ender.
Let's go.
Okay. My high note is the Laver Cup with Roger Federer playing with Andy, Novak, Rafa.
Yeah.
And his last match will be a doubles match. Everyone's guessing, speculating with Rafa, but he's only playing one match, and I think it's Friday.
That's what we want to see, doubles.
Yeah, you know, it's pretty fun, though, I will say, watching the two of them play.
So he is playing, because I heard yesterday, like, oh, he might not even play.
Well, they released something that he's playing doubles. You're right, he may not play, but he's definitely not playing singles, so...
I will be sad to see him go. He is such a likable athletic figure, such a likable champion. And when he was at his best, I don't think there was anyone better.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with that.
We'll miss you, Roger Federer. Roger.
Yes.
I'll do a tennis high note, too.
Yeah.
Sweet. Oh, wait.
Yeah, I got goosebumps just thinking about it.
So... all I care about watching are documentaries, and there is a great new one on Showtime called McEnroe.
Oh, I gotta see
about
that.
John McEnroe, which he may have been underratedly the coolest person ever.
Like, right. Just,
yeah,
I really relate to the rage and yep. the meltdowns.
Yeah.
I only wish I was as good as he was to justify it. Like, I don't have the skill, but I do have the rage. Right. But it just made me feel like, well, maybe the rage isn't as big a deal as I think, and maybe it's actually an asset, and maybe I shouldn't feel that bad about it sometimes because I care. So,
yeah.
You know, what are you going to do? What do you want me to not care? Then I won't be mad ever.
Right.
Well, yes.
It's coming from that place.
This goes back to that book I'm reading, I swear.
Yeah.
I will tell you that you shouldn't be mad at it. You should see it as, like, you know, a necessary part of you and your journey. And also that the rage is trying to teach you something each time. So maybe take a second to think about it while you're in it.
No, I will never think about it.
You could.
Enjoy the
screening. Yeah. Oh, and in McEnroe, my first, not my first week at SNL, but my first week working on the floor on ADH, like with Lorne, it was the Christmas show with Bruce Springsteen playing. And I was standing near Lorne's area under the stairs there. And John McEnroe walks right up to me. I don't know why. Just walked right up to me and he said, "Hi, I'm John." That's it. And I'm like, I froze because I don't care about movie stars or actors,
musicians
for that.
Audience. I
froze. I didn't. I was like, Janice.
Did you say you can't be serious?
I wish. And then his wife, Chrissy.
No, Patty Smythe.
Patty Smythe. I got to get that right. I met her too. It was just like, that was like the highlight of my whole time there, pretty much, out of the years I was there.
Yeah, meeting the person who you didn't know who it was.
No, John. Meeting John.
I can't believe I just met that person.
Whatever
I don't know.
Her name is.
They're famous, though.
All right. Well, great high notes. Very fun top five and great topic. Goldie, thanks again for all those awesome story
great
ideas.
Great work by you to pick up the ball.
No, those were fun. And of course, I love the puns. So I want to thank everyone for listening. I want to thank you two for being awesome.
Thank you.
And we will talk to you again with Ian Maxtone Graham next week.
Oh, fuck. Next week?
Typical, disgusting display.
That was fun.
And it stops right now.
Splatter your showaria.